Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text has just been read from the lectern. Certainly, students of the New Testament will agree that the Apostle Paul had a great and fruitful ministry as he proceeded throughout his career from community to community preaching the word. And then also as he nurtured the congregations, most of which he had started by the letters that were written to them subsequently. This is due largely to the fact that Paul, of course, had a thorough theological education. And that took place after his conversion, perhaps during that three-year period following the Damascus Road experience, before he began preaching in Syria and Cilicia, and then was off on the three great missionary journeys which are spoken of in the book of Acts. There the Lord met with him and went over the fundamentals of the faith. And Paul was reminded, of course, of the true interpretation of much of what the Old Testament taught and was led into all truth. And some of the basics of life and of Christian faith were impressed upon him during this period. And he gives evidence of this, of course, in all of his writings. He was reminded, of course, of the purpose of God's creating the human race, and that is that men might glorify him. All creation made for man, man made to use creation to the glory of God. God is glorified, as we learn from the scripture, when men carry out his holy will and obey his commandments. And then he, as a loving father, desires to bless and to bless those who serve him in this way. Then came the ugly specter of sin, the fall in the garden. And God at that point, Paul realized, could have washed his hands of the whole human race and consigned all to destruction, even those that might have followed after Adam. But God in his love and grace, meaning his unmerited favor, his desire to have communion yet with his fallen creature, conceived a program of salvation and executed it in the person and work of Jesus Christ within the fullness of time. Now the message of this work was to be taken out so that all men might be brought to faith. And as believers, accept the gift of salvation, have the power to overcome sin in their lives, and get back, as it were, to square one, to glorify God in the way that they were intended to do right from the beginning. And they proceed in this manner and grow in that ability as they go through life, until the blessing of heaven is conferred upon them, first according to the Spirit, and then finally also according to the resurrected and glorified body. And then one of the great blessings of heaven will be men's ability to serve God in perfection, carry out all of his commandments, and receive the corresponding supernal blessing that attaches to such eternal obedience. Now the Apostle Paul, in our text, singles out several facets of this understanding which he had come by. And one thing that he mentions, first of all, is there came to him after this instruction the full realization of the significance of Christ's atonement for sin. He says he died for all, and that means that all died in connection with that death. Now, this is not a mystical reference. We die and rise again with Christ, and when we come to faith and are baptized. But this is a strongest way, perhaps, of explaining substitution. That Christ did indeed take the penalty of all men for the whole of their transgressions upon himself and render a perfect substitutionary sacrifice for them all, he enduring the wrath of God in men's place and in men's stead, as though all had been punished. Now, all are not alive, of course, because of Christ's great sacrifice historically rendered, but the message is to be taken out, he learned, and to be brought to people so they can come to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then in the power of the new life that is granted them together with their justification by faith, then to glorify God in their lives once again. And having understood this, he was assiduously about this business of bringing Christ to the nations of his generation. Now, this concept of Christ dying for all is one that should be of great comfort and strengthening to each of us, as it was to Paul. Christ died for all, not only for all kinds of men and classes of men, as some teach who deny the universal atonement in our day, not only for the elect, but for all men. He has expiated the sins of the entire world. He has bought all from destruction. Every person who ends up in hell has been redeemed by Christ, has been ransomed by Christ. St. Peter will write, for example, in his second epistle, second chapter, speaking of the pernicious false teachers of his day, says, they deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Yes, atonement is for everyone. And that's the only reason you and I individually, each one, can be assured that Christ has paid for our sins. This, that he has died for everyone. That includes you and me. And recognizing this, this gave rise to a strong gratitude and love to the Lord in Paul's part. But he goes on to say another revelation the Lord gave him, which he communicates in his preaching, is that Christ died for all and saved all, but the story doesn't stop there, that they who live have come to life through faith should not live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. In other words, life now is to be saturated with the Christ who has done everything for people, and he has given them, by virtue of their baptism, the new man, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness and enables the believer to live to the glory of God. Paul puts it this way in the 17th verse, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, all things are new. So he himself in his inner being, in his spirit, the godlike part of us, for God is a spirit, has died and risen again with Christ. Don't know the mechanics of this, but it happened in baptism and in coming to faith, and is now possessed of ultimate motivation and power for God-glorifying living. In his epistle to the Romans, Paul says, for example, believe this about yourself, not necessarily feel it or by a process of introspection perceive it. Believe that you, the real you, each one, died with Christ and rose again in baptism, which means that you are alive unto God constantly, 24 hours a day throughout the year, desiring to do his will. And then he adds the triumphant assurance, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to free us from the guilt of our sins, and now who has come to live in us to free us from the power of our sins, so that in his strength we can do all things in the moral and spiritual sphere. And so we then can, following Paul's example, who invites us all, clergy and laity alike, to be imitators of him, make use of these gospel truths in our lives. And certainly all of us who are preparing for the ministry will want to apply what Paul says to ourselves first of all. Before having experienced these blessings, we share them with others. In days of difficulty and trial, that we realize we have the invincible power of strength, of Christ's strength at our disposal to overcome these and persevere consistently in doing the Lord's will. We can have our hearts filled with a holy love as Paul experienced that love, a love supremely for God, so that our thoughts are continually dwelling on him and his word, that our wills are in harmony, brought into harmony with his will, and that our emotions are also directed in the manner that God would have them directed. And thus empowered and built up with a full head of motivational steam based on our regeneration in Christ, we proclaim this message for the benefit of our people, that they too may enjoy these blessings of salvation and glorify God, and increasingly come back to that condition for which God created the race and which will be fulfilled in perfection one day in heaven's glory. That kind of ministry the Lord can bless for each of us. And we can say with the Apostle Paul that I have fought the good fight of faith, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me, and those whom I have influenced, the crown of righteousness, which Christ the righteous judge will give unto me, and not unto me only, but to all those who love his appearing. God grant that your ministry be outfitted with such blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.